Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Abigail Reed. I'm an executive budget officer at Minnesota Management and Budget.
Madam Chair, my name's Catherine Barondo. I'm also a budget officer with MMB.
And together with one other budget officer, we cover all of the agencies, actually two other budget officers, we cover all of the agencies within your jurisdiction. And we're here today to present an overview of the governor's budget recommendations for this budget jurisdiction. And I'm going to do a couple slides up front just for context, but first, Madam Chair, there are some agencies in the governor's state government recommendations that aren't within your committee jurisdiction. Do you want us to go through them for informational purposes or skip them in the interest of time?
Well, let's see if we have time, but it is helpful to us to see the whole picture.
So skip them up front and we can come back
to
them?
Yeah, or just as you think it's efficient to do it.
Okay, thank you. So, Madam Chair and members, I believe in your packet you have a copy of the detailed version of the governor's recommendations. And on the top of that, there's a one-page spreadsheet that just gives an overview of the total recommendations. And just to give you a sense of the context for decision-making, up top it shows the forecast deficit of $1.2 billion. And as we go through this, it's important to remember that there were some federal requirements that limited options. For example, there were, under the ERA Act, the stimulus money, there were some restrictions on reductions in spending there. And also, it's important to note, we did use a lot of our one-time options in previous years. So things like the shifts and the budget reserve, as you well know, we've already used those. So those were constraints on decision-making in this context. Also, as you can see from the document, that there are a couple key elements to the governor's budget. The plan is to reduce spending to match revenues. The plan is to protect priority services, such as K-12, veterans and military, and core state public safety. And there are also some new tax incentives included in the package for job creation. And if you look at the page, there's a line that says state agencies, grants, other. And that is the line where all of the changes you'll see in your area are contained in the spreadsheet. And generally within that, as we discussed previously, most programs and operating budgets are reduced 6%. And for the state agencies in this budget division, those are shown generally in two places in the document. Part of that reduction target is shown on each agency's individual line item. You'll see generally a 3% of unspent funds in fiscal 10, a 3% of the total appropriation or operating budget in 11. That is to be managed by the agencies in the way described in the document. Then an additional amount is combined into one line item under MMB non-operating, and that is the item we discussed on Tuesday, the additional operating budget reduction that'll be targeted to some enterprise projects. And also important to note that for the constitutional officers and the legislature, the idea is they would not be included as independently elected officials in that additional $9 million target. So the entire amount of the 6% target is contained on the specific line items for the constitutional officers and the legislature. Also, it's important to note that all funds are contributing to the solution in the governor's budget proposal. So you'll see in cases where the operating budget reductions are taken in other funds, those are generally transferred to the general fund in the fiscal 10-11 biennium in order to help with the deficit. So before turning to the detailed document on the state government section, I did bring two slides. It's, I think, probably one page front and back. Just to give a little context, the first one says, where do general fund dollars go? And that just shows the fiscal 2010 and 11 end of session estimate, inclusive of the executive actions, and just shows that on the lower right-hand corner, the state government budget division, as it is in the state governor's, or in the governor's proposal, is so the agencies contained within our conception of state government. It does differ across the two bodies and the governor. But our version of agencies is 2% of the general fund spending. And then if you flip that over, this actually shows of the total spending in the general fund, what types of spending are occurring. And you'll see that 85% is actually in grants, aids, and pass-through dollars. And then 8% is in compensation for state employees, and 4% is in other operating expenses. So when we talk about operating budgets in general, we're talking about those two items together, the 8 and the 4, and then an additional 3% is for debt service. So this kind of gives a sense of when we talk about operating budgets, and particularly the agencies in this committee area, because they're mostly all operations and very little programming, we're talking about a fairly small section of the state of the general fund spending. So then turning to the detailed document, our plan was just to walk through starting on page 53. And we will walk through and describe at a summary level each of the items in the governor's recommendations, and then we'll answer any questions you have. Depending on the level of detail of your question, we may refer you to the agencies because they are generally best able to describe the specific impact of the reduction to their operations. And the first agency is administration.
Okay. Madam Chair, members, the first individual item in the state government budget recommendations is the 3% operating budget reduction to the Department of Administration. The department proposes to meet the 3% fiscal year 10 target by a one-time transfer to the general fund from the central stores office supply fund. This is contributed capital that was general fund money contributed in, I believe, the 70s, so that is going to be returned to the general fund. In fiscal year 11, the department proposes to restructure the recycling program, saving $327,000 each year. There's also an additional special revenue fund transfer of $7,000 from balances in the commuter van account, the archaeology burial account, and a 3% reduction to the utility rebates account. The next item is a grant reduction item, and that
is I just saw this item, the commuter van program, which has been discontinued. But how is that discontinuance done?
That program has been discontinued, and I think it's been outsourced. The agency, Mr. Rhodes, the expert.
Thank you very much for allowing me to speak, Madam Chair. Jim Rhodes, Department of Administration. The commuter van program was an admin, and it's now with the Met Council, because they were doing it, and they also got some federal money for it, I believe. So it's a better program, and it's more efficient, and it's out of our area now.
Okay, what about the archaeology burial?
Well, Madam Chair, members, that's an interesting story. That our former archaeologist had a book deal, and the proceeds of that money was like 10 years ago, and it was been sitting in an account, so we're giving it back. I believe that's the short and sweet answer to that.
Unburied the accounts?
Unburied in the book, yeah. But somebody wrote a book, and it was handled through our former state archaeologist, Mark Desick, I think. Actually, Ms. Roberts can probably even give you more enlightening details. But there's the money sitting over there. It's been sitting for some time, correct?
Okay. I just remember the name.
Well, that's close enough.
Okay. Okay.
I probably would have skipped this, but so somebody wrote a book. The state gets the proceeds because they did it on state time. The money's been sitting in an account, and we're going to do what with the money?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I don't think that's quite the issue. When we come before you with our experts, Ms. Lynette Madigan and the commissioner, they can give you the more details, or I can find out and get back to you. But my understanding is that there was a book that was written, and there was some money set aside, and it's been sitting in that account for like 10 years or something like that. So it's amount. I forgot the amount. It's not a huge amount.
It's the amount is $3,800.
But it's on the sheet.
Those three items total $7,000.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, Madam Chair, I'm just wondering if 1,000 books could be written by
state employees and sold over the next few years. And
just for the record, Madam Chair, Representative Kaler, I don't think he wrote the book. I think he had somebody wrote it or something. I don't think it was him, but I can't honestly say if that.
Even better, Mr. Rhodes, then so we could become agents and get revenue for the state. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Will the Liscon biography proceeds help us pay off the deficit?
We'll have to make them a little more interesting. Okay.
Okay, Madam Chair, members. The next item in the recommendations is grant reduction in the Department of Administration. This reduces by 6% the Self-Advocacy Network grant to the Council on Developmental Disabilities. There is also a reduction of several public broadcasting grants, but I know that's in the jurisdiction of another committee. The next item is an operating budget reduction to the Department of Admin for fiscal 12 and 13, which is a continuation of the fiscal year 11 unallotment.
And Madam Chair, I should have mentioned that earlier in my overview, that another key feature of the governor's budget is to propose ratifying the unallotments from fiscal 11, pushing them forward into 12 and 13 in order to help solve the TALES deficit. So you'll see those items here listed under unallotment ratification.
And Madam Chair, the next item is within the Office of Administrative Hearings. The first is an operating budget reduction.
Questions from Representative Winkle.
Madam Chair, what is the Government and Citizen Services Program? I mean, don't we all do Government and Citizen Services Program? It's like a $31 billion program.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, that is part of their just a budget category in their budget that they have several programs under, and this particular one is $200,000 that they plan to charge project management time to the actual projects instead of receiving general fund monies for that.
So it sounds like the capital investment bill will get slightly more expensive, but we'll get to save the proceeds in our, as a target for our committee. So good for us.
Okay. The next item, Madam Chair, within the Office of Administrative Hearings is their general 3% operating budget reduction. It is $8,000 in 10 and 11.
Don't they operate on reimbursed expenses to a certain extent?
Yes, they do to a certain extent, but they do receive some small amounts of general fund dollars. I believe it might be for boundary disputes or something of that nature. I can double check on that and get back to you.
We could let military affairs take over the boundary disputes.
Okay. Hey, Madam Chair, having been through them, it can actually make the process probably more smooth.
Okay, the next item is a proposal to transfer jurisdiction of implied consent cases from the court system to the Office of Administrative Hearings. I will note that this item is split between two areas of the budget. It is split between the state government area and the courts area. The courts area shows the savings, and this area shows the additional cost to the Office of Administrative Hearings for doing these cases. However, the reason the recommendation is in the budget document is that there would be overall savings once this is fully implemented. And the savings would be achieved primarily by using hearing officers as adjudicators rather than the district court judges, using some efficient docketing because they would only be hearing these cases and in a limited number of locations.
Madam Chair, I assume that that means that this proposal gets a full vetting in the public safety finance or in one of the other court finance committees. to weigh in on the policy involved in making that change?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, that is my understanding that the bill is being drafted and will be done in both budget committees as well as go through a policy committee.
Are we getting any idea of when the bills are going to? I think some of the bills have been come through, but I don't think we've seen anything for this area. Any idea when that's coming?
And Madam Chair, members, we've been working as quickly as we can on that and do hope to get something through the process of various approvals in the next week or so, we're hoping. Madam Chair, the next item is Amateur Sports Commission, one of the ones that isn't directly within your jurisdiction. But this is the standard operating budget reduction for the agency, and they would meet the reduction target by shifting some of their costs to a contract they have with Hennepin County.
The next item is one of the smaller councils that is also in the jurisdiction of another committee, but it is Asian Pacific Council, and that item involves a 3% operating budget reduction to the council. The next item is the operating budget reduction to the Attorney General, and it represents the 6% operating reduction for the all constitutional officers that Ms. Reed mentioned earlier. The next item is
just a quick question. Sorry about all the constitutional offices. How are the unspent funds measured for FY 2010 for constitutional office? I mean, what would be the number? Not the precise number, but how do you arrive at that?
Madam Chair, Representative, we did in December run reports and looked at the unspent funds of all of the agencies that were taking reductions in fiscal year 10 and used a comparable date.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And is it true there were no unallotments to the other constitutional officers similar to what the governor did in his office?
Madam Chair, Representative, I believe that is the case.
So as of yet, if I might, there hasn't been any budget reductions to those three constitutional offices, the Attorney General, Secretary of State, and Auditor since the November forecast. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative, that is correct.
All right,
you see no unallotment continuation in their budgets because they didn't receive one of those unallotments.
Madam Chair, to Representative Holberg, that's true, but nobody's received any additional unallotments since November. So we did reduce the agency operating budgets in the budget bills last session.
I know, but if I might, on top of that, if you look, like under the governor's office, you'll see where he did an unallotment already, and then he's moving that forward as a permanent cut, and on top of that, he's doing the 6% or 3% or whatever. So right. It could be said that if you're going to have parity amongst all of the constitutional officers, that there should be a greater reduction to the other three constitutional officers to match the level of unallotment that the governor's office has already taken as proposing moving forward.
Madam Chair, that's true, but of course the Attorney General's office has incurred some additional expense in defending the governor's unallotments as well, so maybe that's their contribution.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that point, Representative Winkler, but it's pretty clear that we're in some pretty dire times, and if other offices have been able to handle some of these level cuts, it may be a place for us to look for more reductions.
Okay, Madam Chair, members, the next item is the operating budget reduction to the Black Minnesotans Council. That's the standard 3%. The Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board is also taking a 3% operating budget reduction. You may want to note that the Campaign Finance Board requested to take a higher reduction in fiscal year 10, so that was allocated in that manner. And then throughout 12 and 13, it's the standard 3% at $22,000. Capital Area Architecture Board is taking the standard 3% reduction in fiscal year 10 of the unspent funds and in fiscal 11. The next item is the Chicano Latino Affairs Council. This is another one of the councils not within your jurisdiction, but for informational purposes, the council is also taking a 3% operating budget reduction.
Madam Chair, members.
Oh, Representative Dan. Sorry. Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And this is, I may be jumping ahead on this question, but I know we commissioned a study of some kind in the omnibus bill last year to look at the possibility of consolidating some functions within these various councils. Is that study complete enough that we could leverage those findings to actually produce these savings, or where is that study and what would be the possibility for these councils?
It was a full location study, and it was actually presented before Representative Murphy's division. And unfortunately, there weren't any really big savings involved. There were several places that they looked at. I don't know if anyone wants to give a summary of it. Or
Madam Chair, Representative, the explanation from Chair Kahn is correct, that they have completed the study and they did present the study, but with the various options they considered, they did not find significant savings with co-locating the councils.
Madam Chair, members, the next item is for the Enterprise Technology Office, Office of Enterprise Technology. They are receiving the standard operating budget reduction, and they would meet that target by scaling back salary, operating, and consulting costs in the Enterprise Planning and Management Program. And they also received an item, the unallotment ratification, extending their fiscal 11 allotments, unallotments into 12 and 13. And those actually were divided between the IT Security Program and the Enterprise Planning and Management Program. The next item is for the Gambling Control Board. The Gambling Control Board and the Racing Commission are two agencies that are funded from dedicated accounts that where we collect fees from the agents or from the entities that are regulated. So for the Lawful Gambling Control Board, they're the charitable gambling entities, and then for the Racing Commission, it's the racetracks and the folks who work there that are licensed. So what this item does is reduce the operating budget for the Gambling Control Board in that dedicated fund by the standard 3 and 3, and then transfers that amount to the general fund to help with the deficit. And the transfers are on a one-time basis in fiscal 10 and 11. And the agency actually had been scaling back some spending in that account, recognizing that they are taking in less money in a given year than they actually are spending, and so they'd already been slowing that down. So this actually just reduces that spending by that same amount, but then takes that money and sends it to the general fund. The second item under the Gambling Control Board is a reduction to a new set of grants to this committee from last year. It's the Problem Gambling Grants, and this would reduce in the second year the contingent portion of that grant, and again transfer that. In that case, it actually increases lottery net proceeds, which are divided 60-40, 60% to the general fund and 40% to the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. So that's how the $50,000 would be directed in this case.
Do these boards pay their full share of parts of state government, like the governor's office, for example?
Madam Chair, members, if you're referring to the DC office or the payments for the services of the policy advisors, I don't believe those extend to smaller agencies like these. But if you're referring to indirect costs that are charged out through the statewide indirect cost plan, those would be applied to small agencies and boards to the extent that they.
So there are no exceptions to the statewide indirect costs?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, the next item is an operating budget reduction of 6% to the governor's office. Also included is a reduction to the interagency agreement account in the special revenue fund, and that is transferred to the general fund. The governor's office also has an unallotment continuation item that continues the unallotment in fiscal 12 and fiscal 13. The next item is the Indian Affairs Council, another one of the small councils that is taking the standard 3.3% cut.
And the next item is the Investment Board, and like Office of Administrative Hearings, most of their funding actually comes from other funds, but this does make the standard operating budget reduction to their small general fund appropriation. The next items are for the legislature. The first one is the standard operating budget reduction for constitutional officers in the legislature. In this case, it includes a reduction to the health care access fund appropriation that the legislature receives. And the second item is the reduction to carry forward balances. It would be 6% of the total carry forward balances, again measured as of that same date period that Ms. Brando referred to. And the next item is the lottery.
Madam Chair, why does the legislature receive an appropriation from the Health Care Access Fund? What is that for?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I think your staff may be better able to speak to that. I think it has something to do with the Health Care Access Commission.
Madam Chair, that's correct. It's a the cost of the Health Care Access Commission. It's to reimburse the House and Senate for staff costs related to that commission.
So, Madam Chair, the next item is for the lottery, and this item just reflects potential increased revenue from the implementation of two new lottery games in calendar year 11, or sorry, in calendar year 10.
At some point, are we going to get an analysis about how that will work?
Madam Chair, members, the lottery can definitely speak to the types of games they are adding and what they expect those to bring in terms of sales and then costs. But this item actually anticipates new revenue, so once that revenue is reflected in the forecast, then it would not be counted here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So are these new games that they're implementing just to fix the budget, or is this just somehow grabbing new game revenue that already was planned for as part of their program?
Madam Chair, Representative Downey, these are two new games that they have been working for a while to implement, and so what this does is recognize the fact that they are coming online and that new revenue is expected from them. But the forecast will have the actual detail as to how that finally shakes out in terms of a general fund impact.
Madam Chair, Ms. Reed, I'd just like to return to the question. Does the reduction in the Health Care Access Fund appropriation help resolve the budget deficit?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, you don't see a transfer here in this part of the document because all reductions to Health Care Access Fund appropriations were grouped together and the transfers are handled in the Human Services section because there's a lot of complex interactions between the General Fund and Health Care Access Fund in the Governor's recommendations. So any transfers are handled there.
Madam Chair, could you just mention something more about the complex interactions between the Health Care Access Fund and the Governor's General Fund budget?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I really wish I could, but I am not the best person to describe that for you. So what I can do is speak with the budget officers in that area and provide a summary for you. If I tried, I probably wouldn't get it right. I apologize for that. Madam Chair, members, the next item is for Minnesota Management and Budget. And the agency is receiving the standard general fund reduction and also has two small accounts contributing from the special revenue fund. So in order to meet the general fund target, the agency is actually not replacing some of the staff that are moving over to the accounting system project, the SWIFT project, in the short term, and then we'll need to reevaluate operations once SWIFT comes online and see what that does for staffing and operations into the next biennium. The two items that are coming from the special revenue fund, they're small reductions to the account for the statewide combined charities campaign and also the internal agency technology service account. And then MMB would also be taking the operating budget reduction extension of the unallotments. The next items are in the agency code called MMB non-operating, which is where we put items of statewide nature that don't really fit anywhere else. And so the first item is the one we talked about on Tuesday. It's the additional operating budget reduction. The second item is an elimination of the ARA contingency fund. It eliminates a $750,000 fund that we created in the general contingent accounts this biennium to meet any additional matching requirements for stimulus funds that weren't known at the time that the bills were being put together. No one has come forward with additional matching requirements for these funds, so the recommendation is to eliminate that account. The third item here is a change to the statute governing governor-elect transition expenses. Mm-hmm. Under current law, MS 4.51, the governor's 1.5% of the governor's office appropriation may be transferred from those general contingent accounts to the commissioner of administration to pay expenses of the governor-elect. So this proposal would actually first reflect that that was actually intended to go to the management analysis division, which has since moved to MMB. So this would switch the commissioner to the commissioner of management and budget. And then it would also, instead of having the 1.5% of the governor's office calculation, it would just insert in the law $162,000 flat budget for the transition process. And since these funds actually come from the existing $500,000 appropriation for the general fund contingent accounts, no new appropriations would be needed. And there will be additional language in the governor's budget bill explaining how these changes would be made.
Madam Chair, what's the difference between 1.5% and 162,000?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I believe 1.5% is in the neighborhood of $57,000, so this would be a fair amount difference.
Higher. Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to reflect the actual cost of what the transition is expected to cost. In previous years, I believe agencies did absorb some of the cost, and that may not be possible to the same extent this time around.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess my only comment would be that I don't like always moving from percentages to fixed dollar amounts, because we have a tendency to leave those alone forever, and then eventually it falls behind. So I wonder if you'd consider providing a percentage that, or some other means of calculation that would get to approximately the same number, but not leave us fixed with a dollar amount that might not keep up in future years.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, we'd be happy to look at that and try to work with you to come up with something. Madam Chair, members, the next item is for the Racing Commission. As I discussed earlier, they have direct appropriations out of a dedicated account, and so this would reduce those appropriations and transfer the reduction amount to the general fund. And again, they had been actually scaling back their operations, trying to keep their spending in line with the revenues coming in, so this would just further reduce the amount they have available in that account. The next items are for the Department of Revenue. The first is the standard operating budget reduction, and is, as is usually the case, this is calculated on the non-compliance portion of their budget, so it's about a third, calculated on about a third of their total budget. The second item is additional tax compliance. This would provide additional appropriations to the Department of Revenue to do further compliance activities, which would have a 4-to-1 return and raise additional funds for the general fund. And the net actually there would be $20.1 million per year. The next item is a small change to the tax preparer e-file requirements. It would adopt the federal e-file threshold that requires tax preparers to file electronically if they prepare more than 10 income tax returns. And this would result in some administrative savings to the Department of Revenue in not processing as many paper returns. And in addition, they also receive the unallotment ratification item, so that would be $950,000 per year, beginning in 12 and 13.
Madam Chair, the next item is for the Secretary of State, and it represents the standard 6% operating budget reduction for the constitutional officers. And the next item is for the State Auditor. It is a 6% operating budget reduction of the State Auditor funds that are not recoverable through audit fees.
And Madam Chair, that actually concludes the items in your section of the budget. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any? Yes.
Madam Chair, whoever would like to answer this. Looking at the Secretary of State, I mean, over the past year, we know that they've had a lot of extra expenses because of the election last year, and we're also looking at making changes to the elections coming up. So how will their office be able to operate with these changes?
Madam Chair, Representative, I have had discussions with the Secretary of State's office, and they're working on it, but they would probably best be able to answer your questions about how they would achieve those reductions.
Thank you.
Okay. Any general questions? Representative Pickline.
Yes, Madam Chair, I think that is a valid question, Representative, but probably one of the things that are unique about Secretary of State Office, especially for some of the things, is that they have the Help America Vote Act money. It's a special account dedicated to elections that cannot be taken by the state general fund or anything like that. So they have some resources there that are available to them that are unique during this time.
Was any of the... Is any of the Help America Vote Act used in the course of the recount? Is that an availability? Does anyone know? Well, when the Secretary of State comes in, we'll ask them.
Yes, Madam Chair, I am not sure about that.
Okay. Representative Winkler?
Madam Chair, I'll just ask quickly. I assume that the 6% reduction you're proposing doesn't include anything from the HAVA accounts?
No.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, that's correct.
Okay, Representative Winkler, we have before us the minutes of February 23rd. Representative Winkler moves. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. I think.
I'd like to strike that section of the minutes dealing with the Pep and Kalen exchange for that.
It's on the tape. We'll strike it. Okay. Meeting adjourned.